Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Scott Hastings is going to join us. Does a great job calling the Denver Nuggets games as a TV analyst. He will join us 20 minutes from now. Last night, Denver found a way to force a Game 7. Game 7 will be Sunday up against the Oklahoma City Thunder at Oklahoma City. That will be a 3:30 p.m. Eastern time tip, 2:30 p.m. Central out there. But let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio, and we will get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
The Ritz Bit, or Ritz Bits, is a very underrated snack. It's a cheese cracker. Problem is, when you house them as quickly I did during the break, which is in like 3 minutes, got a lot of cheese now stuck in my teeth. A lot of cracker stuck in my gums and all that stuff. And I got to talk. A little bit difficult here, if I'm not going to lie. I'm like Jamal Murray right now. I'm playing sick. I'm playing hurt. See if I ball out and have a Jamal Murray type of performance. Let's go to the ice, though. Hurricanes up 3-1 in the series. They were in D.C. last night. Chance to close out the Capitals. They did so. They won 3-1. I guess for the Hurricanes, just as long as the Rangers aren't there in the playoffs, they're a really damn good team. We know what they're capable of. Rantanen got traded there, and then Rantanen got traded from there to then the Stars. Because of the fact that he was originally with the Avalanche, got traded to the Hurricanes, they couldn't get a long-term deal done, so he got traded to the Stars. So the Hurricanes are off to the conference finals because a big reason, it was 1-1. And in the third period, with like 2 minutes left, Svechnikov ended up getting a goal. They ended up getting an empty net goal to win 3-1. But let's see the Svechnikov goal to make it 2-1 late in the third. This not only gave the lead to the Hurricanes, it ended up giving them the series victory in five games, taking care of the Washington Capitals. Here's the Hurricanes Radio Network.
Now here's Jarvis. Could be a 3-on-2 for Carolina. Svechnikov. He'll get it right back from Walker. And he scores!
Yes!
A sharp angle! Andrei Svechnikov! He beats Thompson. And Carolina, with a minute 59 to go, takes a 2-1 lead.
Don't be afraid as a hockey announcer to hold out that voice crack a little bit. Whenever you get, he shoots, he scores! I'm okay with the voice crack. I'm good with that. Like Sean McDonough, whenever he used to do college, well, he still does college football, even the NFL. I loved him on Monday Night Football because he'd always like, touchdown! A voice crack with an announcer is not a bad thing. The Jets are the President's Trophy winners. We've not had a President's Trophy winner go on to win the Stanley Cup since 2013 when the Chicago Blackhawks did that. Dallas was up 3-1 looking to eliminate the Jets last night in Winnipeg. And the Jets ended up getting a big victory and a much needed victory to send this back to Dallas for a game six. The Jets are still down in the series, but they only trail now 3-2. Let's listen up here. This was a goal on the power play. It made it 2-0. It was the first of two goals for this player. Let's hear it sounded on the Jets radio network.
Velarde for Scheifele. Break wide, far side for Connor. Down low, Ehlers. Strong shot toward the net. He Nikolai Ehlers from the goal line. The wraparound goes along the ice. Pass Ottinger. It's a power play goal. And Winnipeg leads it 2-0.
Nikolai Ehlers with his first of two goals last night. And the Jets did secure a 4-0 shutout victory up against the Dallas Stars. You know, that's Paul Edmonds on the Jets radio network. That's probably how I envision a Winnipeg Jets radio announcer sounding. Anyway, let's go to the hardwood. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He did not get the job done in Game 6 to end this series. It's going back to OKC for a Game 7. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on a Game 7 up against the Denver Nuggets.
It's do or die. It's what you live for. It's what you worked your whole life for. It's either your dream continues or your dream ends. So you lay it all out there on the floor and live with the results. But, yeah, I'm excited for the opportunity for sure.
And let's hear from Mark Dagnolt, the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, the mentality heading into a Game 7.
We need to be who we've been all season and embrace the opportunity that's in front of us. We get to play that game at home because of the work we did during the regular season in front of our fans. So, you know, we're obviously disappointed in the outcome tonight, but when the ball goes up in the air, we'll be excited to go.
Sam, to who wins Game 7 between the Thunder and the Nuggets? Do the Thunder get tight and Nikola Jokic goes off to the conference finals again? Or do you see the Oklahoma City Thunder being the best team in the league and getting the job done?
I see SGA coming through as the MVP and winning the game.
Stu?
Yeah, I think the Thunder are the better team. They win at home.
This is like college game day where they're all on one team. I'm kind of on the Thunder as well. I don't think I'm just going to pick the Nuggets to break up the mush spot here. So we don't have the graphic of us go viral. Yeah, I'm going to take the Thunder. I'm rooting for the Denver Nuggets, though, because I want to see the greatness continue with Nikola Jokic. Let's go to David Adelman, the coach of the Denver Nuggets, what he saw from his team with their back up against the walls.
Same thing I always see. Those losses were tough, but, I mean, it was 3-2. The series is still here. I've said this. I know it's cliche, but every game is its own chapter. It's its own thing. It's its own entity. And different people are going to step up, just like for them. They've had people step up in Game 4 and 5. And tonight we had that team that did it.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
We do?
We have some breaking news according to...
What sport?
The NFL.
Rodgers?
No.
Trade?
No.
Free agent signing?
No.
Is this like actual big news or is it just like breaking news where it's not actually big news?
This is big news.
Big news.
Big news.
Anything about the rules?
Nope.
Stadiums?
It is contract related.
Someone got an extension. Oh!
Yes.
Is it Trey Hendrickson?
It is not.
Is it Brock Purdy?
It is Brock flipping Purdy.
Rock out with your Brock out looking Purdy awesome. What is it? Hit me with it.
According to the insiders, his agent Kyle Strongen says that Brock Purdy has agreed to terms on a 5-year, $265 million extension.
Oh, my God.
$181 million in total guarantees, including $165 in the first 3 new years of the deal that now runs through 2030.
And I'm not good at math, but on my calculator, 265 divided by 5 is $53 million. Told you it was going to be north of $50 million. Told you it was going to be a top 5 salary in AAV for a starting quarterback. You know, good for the Niners. They get the deal done with Brock Purdy. It wasn't a matter of if they were going to get a deal done. It was just going to be when that they ended up getting the deal done. And they finally take care of business here with Brock Purdy. They were shedding enough salary this offseason with other players on the roster they said goodbye to. Now we're going to find out really what Brock Purdy is made out of. It's a good story. It's a fun story so far. It was Mr. Irrelevant into then someone that was viewed last year as a top 10 quarterback. And this past year, it was not a stellar year for the Niners. It wasn't a stellar year for Brock Purdy. It wasn't all on him. He had the Christian McCaffrey injury, the Brandon Ayuk injury, Deebo Samuel no longer on the team. Kittle got his extension done. This is a 49ers team that I'm going to be fascinated by how we're talking about them at the end of the year because they lost a lot. Now more is going to be asked out of Brock Purdy, and there's no more excuses. There are no more, ooh, nice story, Mr. Irrelevant. No, now you're a $53 million a year quarterback. All right, that's what you are. The only quarterbacks that make more money than you per year. Dak Prescott makes 60. Then you have a few guys that are at $55 million a year. Burrow, Allen, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence are at $55 million a year. The $53 million a year guys are Tua Tagovailoa and also Jared Goff. So now go earn that money. I don't think there is a quarterback in the NFL this year under more pressure than Brock Purdy. Here's why. He got the money. So yes, he's not under pressure to lose his job. But now you have to show that you're worth that money and you have a team where more is going to be asked of you and you have a team that people say, okay, where are they heading? Like the last few years, they were one of the best teams in the NFL. They've been to 2 Super Bowls. They had leads up against the Kansas City Chiefs by 10 points in both of those Super Bowls. Can you find a way to win your division? Right now, I'd say the Rams are better. Can you find a way to make the playoffs? Right now, I would say you should be a wild card team, but just making the wild card for like other teams, that's acceptable. Like in the AFC, the Patriots make the wild card this year. Their fans are doing backflips in the streets, right? They're doing somersaults in the streets. You know, if the Dallas Cowboys make the playoffs this year, you know, those fans will be fired up. But a team like the San Francisco 49ers, it's not about just making the playoffs. It's can you put yourself back into that legitimate, bona fide Super Bowl contending conversation. And there's going to be a lot of criticism week in and week out of Brock Purdy, because I know how this works. The weeks he plays well, see, he was worth the money. If he goes on a 2-3 week stretch where it doesn't look well, then it's, they paid him $53 million a year. So this was a deal that we always knew was going to get done. We expected it to be in that $53, $54 million range. It ends up being $53 million a year on the surface when Santa just gave me that information. Now, it's one thing to get the contract. Can you go out there and show that you are a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the league and a legitimate quarterback that you feel like you could win a Super Bowl with the 49ers and get them over that hump? Because you look at some of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, Dak Prescott, I don't think he could win a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, I do believe he can. Josh Allen, I do believe he can. Jordan Love, it's still early, but I like what we've seen the last 2 years. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he can win a Super Bowl. Tua Tagovailoa, I don't think he can win a Super Bowl. Jared Goff, good quarterback. Biggest game of his life in the Super Bowl up against the Patriots, he stunk. And this past year, in the second round of the playoffs, he was terrible up against the Commanders. Justin Herbert, you know, he hasn't won a playoff game yet. Lamar Jackson's had his playoff struggles, but he's a multiple-time MVP award winner. So I just went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. And now you throw Brock Purdy into that conversation. Those are the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL per year. And there are legitimate questions how many of those guys could actually go win a Super Bowl. So it's a credit to what Brock has already done. It's a credit to the belief that Kyle Shanahan has and John Lynch has in Brock Purdy. You've been a solid quarterback. You've been a good quarterback. Now we need to see if Brock Purdy can not only become very good, but if Brock Purdy can become great. That's what we need to see. Because he doesn't have the same weapons as he once has. McCaffrey always injured. Kittle getting older, even though he's a heck of a tight end. Ayuk coming off an injury. Deebo Samuel no longer there. So now more is going to be put on the plate of Brock Purdy. And he's got to find the way to ball out this upcoming year. All righty, let's do this real quickly. Let's go back to the news brief, if you could just give me the audio. Ooh, nice job there, Stu. Let's get to Ryan Clark. Tomlin needs to go somewhere else. This is on First Take.
I believe that Mike Tomlin is unfireable. I believe if Mike Tomlin steps away from being the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that should be his decision. I do believe that should be the decision he makes. I believe Mike Tomlin should coach in another organization. Mike Tomlin should be a fresh voice somewhere else, because I believe, as great as a coach he is, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I believe his voice has run stale there. I believe he's allowed that team to reach the highest of heights they're going to reach unless they can get a top-tier quarterback. He needs to go have his Andy Reid Kansas City run.
I will say this. I'm not saying Ryan Clark is wrong. I just don't understand why you can't fire Mike Tomlin. Like, if the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, got fired from New England with 6 Super Bowl championships, why can't you fire Mike Tomlin?
It was mutual with Belichick.
No, it wasn't. You're funny. That's the thing. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, as I'm still trying to get the cheese and the crackers out of my teeth that I just had during the break. If I'm the Steelers, I say this to Mike Tomlin entering this season. I always said this in the offseason. You have 2 years. Either find us a franchise quarterback or get us a playoff winner, or else you're out. That's what I would have as a standard right now. Let's go to Pete Carroll, Brock and Salk in Seattle, Sports 710 AM. Let's go to Pete Carroll and why he left the Seahawks.
It came to me that there was a time that we probably were about to face one of the bigger changes, shifts in the time of the program, and it was really John's turn. It was his turn to take over, and I know I had been had the lead voice and all of that all through that time, and I was really hoping that John could become the general manager of the club and run it, and so. Jody was great about it, and so it's a little bit different than, you know, maybe how people perceived it. And there was a lot of big changes that were going to happen, and we might not agree on all of those changes, you know, because I was going to hang with some guys more than maybe he would at the time, and the changes they made have obviously turned out great.
Yeah, I just don't buy that. It still feels like it was his decision. I don't think they want him to be the coach anymore. Let's go to John Schneider. He was on the Rich Eisen Show on the Infinity Sports Network on drafting Jalen Milroe after signing Sammy Darnold.
Did you have to give Darnold a heads up or what your plan is for Milroe? I mean, you just signed.
Yeah, Coach. So Mike McDonald, gave Sam a heads up and was kind of, within that period, is coming down the pike like, hey, this isn't about you. You know, this is about acquiring an impact player, in our opinion. So Mike talked to Sam. I was able to communicate with Drew. And obviously we were communicating with Sam Howell all throughout the weekend as well. Sam Howell is a special person too.
Yeah, that you ended up trading to Minnesota. He was so special. I think Jalen Milroe is a good insurance policy if Sam Darnold doesn't work out, because there's a lot of upside with Jalen Milroe. His problem is he's never been able to find a middle ground. It's either all or nothing with Jalen Milroe. Finally, here's Bill Belichick, Good Morning America with Michael Strahan. I watched the entirety of this interview. It didn't really pick up until the end of it when Michael Strahan asked about Bill Belichick.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Relationship with Jordan Hudson, as it's spelled. Go ahead.
A lot has been made also of the professional life, but also of your personal life, because it's spilled over into your professional life in a lot of ways. And a lot has been made about your relationship with Jordan Hudson. It's been getting a lot of attention. She isn't here this morning, but what do you think about all the attention that your relationship has been getting?
Yeah, well, she's been terrific, through the whole process, and she's been very helpful to me. She does the business things that don't relate to North Carolina that come up in my life, so I can concentrate on football. And that's really what I want to do. I acknowledged her in the book. She was very helpful on that with the tribute pages. And also, given a perspective of the book from kind of a business side, sometimes I get a little football technical. And so, she did a good job of keeping me on balance there.
So what did Jordan mean to you?
Well, we have a good personal relationship. And, I'm not talking about personal relationships, Michael. You know that.
Okay, I know that, Coach. But I'm saying, are you happy?
Yeah.
You look happy.
Yeah.
I'd see you doing yoga. Only happy people do yoga, Coach. Only happy people do yoga. Well, I know a lot's been made about all of this, and I just hope that the focus gets back on you and your. If you're happy, we're all happy for you.
I appreciate it, Michael.
And I wish you well at UNC.
And that's exactly why Bill Belichick did not need Jordan Hudson holding his hand during the CBS interview, because he could just deflect questions himself. He did not need her holding his hand. By the way, did you know that Jordan Hudson, I always thought it was J-O-R-D-A-N. I did not know this is spelled J-O-R-D-O-N. Did you know that, Sam?
I didn't either, no.
Yeah, that's why I keep on saying Jordan, just to remember how it's spelled correctly. I've been, up until a week and a half ago, been spelling it J-O-R-D-A-N, but it's D-O-N. Anyway, who gives a crap? It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Scott Hastings joins us next as we will talk about the Nuggets in a Game 7 on Sunday up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Also squeeze in some of the other happenings in the association with the former NBA player. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Denver Nuggets have forced the Game 7. You'll see that coming up on Sunday in OKC. Tip-off at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll see if the Nuggets can get one more victory to advance and go up against the Timberwolves, or it will be Oklahoma City going to the Western Conference Finals. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in Scott Hastings, who does a great job as a part of the TV network for the Denver Nuggets. Also hosts radio out there on Altitude in Denver as well. Played in the NBA with the Knicks, the Hawks, the Heat, the Pistons, where he won a championship and then wrapped up his career in Denver, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Scott, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for it. How are you?
I'm doing good, Zach. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So you take a look at last night. Let me start with Jamal Murray. If he's sick 3 years ago, he's probably not allowed to play in that game, but he was battling an illness last night, and it didn't hold him back. Just how about what Jamal Murray was able to do with the back up against the wall last night for Denver?
You know what? It's the second time in these playoffs. I think he had one earlier in the Clippers series It was either Clipper series or Memphis, the Knicks, the last game. He came out, he's got long sleeve shirts on underneath his uniform, and we find out later, that's a new look, and he just absolutely killed it. I think it's the third time that in his career he's had a Michael Jordan kind of illness game, and he's actually played real well. I think, to be honest with you, why that is he's such a competitive dude, and he really wants to win, that I think when he's under the weather, he lets it come to him. And I thought last night was a prime example of he really let the game come to him, hit a couple shots early, that first bucket where Dort pushes Hartenstein into him. He gets a four-point play early in the game. I think just really, kind of set him up. You say, okay, the ball can go in even if I don't feel great. But he's had a history playing pretty well when he's been under the weather. But I think it's because he slows down and he lets the game come to him. He doesn't really force it, and he plays a more efficient game. And last night he was heck of efficient for a guy that is your prime outside shooting guy.
Obviously we nationally talk about the Nuggets. We talk to Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. Then you get to the other guys like a Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Even Russell Westbrook, as he's always a polarizing player. But Julian Strother was sensational last night. Christian Brown has really developed early into a good player and someone that's in their starting lineup. Just how about the performances from them two last night? Strother giving 15 off the bench, and then Christian Braun, Brown giving you 23 points as well.
When Christian scores like that, they're pretty good, to be honest with you. When he gets 20, they don't lose very often. And it, all that does is just opens up the game a little bit, because now you got to concentrate on them. The games they've lost, if you go back and look at, whether it's the bench or, Michael Porter or even Christian, they really struggled making shots, and it allows a really – really good defensive team to really just clamp down in the middle. When you're not worried about anybody from the outside knocking shots down, it's easy to keep three bodies in the paint around Nikola Jokic. And, he's still trying to, get something going, and he struggled in a couple of games as far as his efficiency goes. So, yeah, when the others, I listened to Tim McMahon of ESPN last night in the post game from the floor, and I thought he said it best. He said, listen, Denver's a good team, but they're not deep. And now when you're starting to get others really contributing, whether it's Christian or in last night's case, Julian, coming off the bench, they become a real dangerous team, and I couldn't agree with him more. And now it's just, can these guys do it in back-to-back games? I think a lot of, if you're being honest, you caught these guys in an honest moment where they just didn't, do the politically correct line. They feel they gave away games, four at home and five on the road also with leads going into the fourth quarter. They think maybe had they had any production from, Porter or Christian in either one of those two games, they could have already ended this series themselves. So, it leads up to a really interesting game seven against a really good team who's going to be on their home floor.
Yeah, and also, obviously, you need a Gordon or a Porter in a game seven to just be serviceable. But I kind of feel game seven, a lot of people are going to pick the Thunder in this one. This is a Nikola Jokic game to me where, maybe it is a game five type of performance, but they're able to get a victory this time around. As someone that doesn't have a dog in the fight here, Scott, from just a basketball standpoint, I want to see the Joker just have a sensational night and win the game, because what it does to his already ridiculous legacy, if he gets to a conference finals and maybe even better than that in a year where they fired the coach and the GM with three games left in the season, with the team, like you said, isn't deep, that would just be stupid, in my opinion.
It would add another chapter in the book, wouldn't it? And listen, everybody's going to pick Oklahoma City, and well, they should. And they deserved it. They had the best regular season, in their history. They had the best regular season of the league this year. They're a great team. Shai Gilgeous is going to win the MVP. They're deep. They're 10 deep at least, and they've got tons of draft picks still to even add to the talent. But I believe it was Jalen Rose, and it might have been somebody else. I don't know. I'm going to give Jalen credit because I like Jalen. But a few years ago, remember when Cleveland came back and won their championship and they beat Golden State in Golden State in Game 7?
Yeah.
And I think it was Jalen. It could have been Charles. It might have been somebody. He goes, when you play a Game 7, it's a dangerous situation when the best team in the world is on the other team. And at that time, the best player in the world was LeBron James, and you made it a one-game winner-take-all with the best player in the world, and Cleveland came back and won that game and won that series. So I think Joker's probably the best player in the world right now. He'll get second place in the MVP voting, but I'm glad he's on the team I'm going to cover and that I'm going to be cheering for while I'm at the game there on Sunday. I think that bodes well, and I agree with you. I think if Denver finds a way to win this Game 7, you've just added another chapter, really, to Nikola's awesome resume, Hall of Fame resume that he's already put out there.
And you see him night in and night out. You know, we're watching him from afar, and obviously everyone parachutes in and watches him religiously during the playoffs. No disrespect to David Adelman, but it feels like Nikola Jokic has been more vocal, and it feels like he's kind of a player coach right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, listen, and this is no slight on David, but I think you also have to have a coach that allows that. You know what I'm saying? You've got to have a coach. And the one thing that I think David did, rightly so, right away, now he's been an assistant with this team for the last 8 years, so he's grown up with all these guys anyway. There's a relationship with all these guys anyway. It's better to have a more friendly relationship when you're an assistant sometimes than it is even when you're a head coach. And he is, talking about David, is humble. He's egoless. He's the son of a Hall of Fame coach who he's leaned on his dad, I think, through all this process, whose dad understood, my job is to coach, but it's the players that matter. And I think he understands that. And if he can empower guys, and I agree with you, I think by far they're the shallowest team that is still playing in the playoffs, right? I mean, I don't think anybody, I think that's one of the reasons you've lost your GM. And he understands if we're going to try to do anything that surprises the world, shocks the world, right? These guys got to be empowered. They've got to take ownership. They've got to want to win this thing more than even I do. I coached high school for a couple of years, and I remember talking to one of my assistants, and we won a game. We were a really good team. And we won a game by like 23, and I think we probably should have won by 40, right? Wasn't good enough, but maybe we won by 17, whatever. And I'm sitting out in the locker room after the game, and it's just my old-time coach that I had with me, John Suter. He played at Syracuse. He was a teammate of Dave Bing. I mean, he's an old-school guy. And I said, I just don't think these guys get it. This is the time of their life. This should be the most important thing. And I just, you know, I just don't, I think they take it easy. You know, all the different stuff coaches complain about when you got a good team and you still won easily. And he said to me, he said, Coach, you got to realize no one's going to love this more than you do. And it really struck a nerve in me. And I think that's probably right, especially in high school, maybe even at the college level. But at the pro level, if you can get a group of guys that the journey you're on at that moment is as much, if not more important to them than yourself, I think you got a good formula. And I think that's
the recipe that David Adelman came in and is trying to cook up. Let's see. Because I can be the most brilliant coach in the world, and if these guys think this is over and they don't want to play, it ain't going to matter. They haven't played like that. And I think at this time it was the perfect chef to have in the kitchen.
Scott Hastings wrapping up with him. The Denver Nuggets are into a Game 7, which you will see Sunday up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, how do you think the Thunder are going to respond to this pressure? I know that the local fan in Denver may not feel this way, but I think all the pressure is on the Thunder going into this Game 7 with the young team.
Well, listen, I think, Zach, that when they fired the coach and GM with three games left in the regular season, and it looks like you could drop all the way down to, you know, sixth seed, or who knows, you lose all three, you're in the play-in. I think you've been playing with house money.
Yeah.
You win those three games, and as Adelman said, when you got to Game 7 with the Clippers, those last three games of the regular season earned you the right to have this game right here at home tonight. And the way they played in this series, they've earned them the right to be in a Game 7, but they're playing with house money. I don't think any – and I don't follow betting odds, or I don't follow all the sports betting apps or anything like this. I got to believe if you took the odds that this is going to be a seven-game series, you probably would have already cashed in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody expected to see this. So I'm with you. You don't ever want to lose a Game 7 at home. I think the pressure in a Game 7 is always on the home team to hold court. Just like in the NFL, the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, whatever you do, you're in the AFC Championship game, the pressure's on the home team because you're supposed to win it. So we'll see. I'll say this. Listen, I mean, whether Denver wins or Denver loses, doesn't matter. Oklahoma City is a really good team. I mean,
no doubt.
They are a really good team. I think, and I've been trying to say, Denver's really good. They're just missing a piece of here, a consistent play here or there. But Denver's a really good team. They're just not very deep. And when you can get contributions, when you can get Joker and Murray playing like Joker and Murray, and then I think they're 5-0 in these playoffs when Gordon scores 20. They've got to be up in that same type of number when Christian Brown can, you know, throw up a 20 as well. So I don't know. Let's see. I think it's going to be a whale of a ball game, and I think it's going to be just like games 4, 5, and 6. Probably going to come down the last 3 minutes.
You lean Knicks or you lean Celtics tonight with New York at home with the chance to send home the defending champs?
After watching First Take, and listen, I was drafted by the Knicks.
Yeah.
But after watching First Take today and watching Stephen A. And all the stuff he was talking about, and then Spike Lee coming on, all the New York, New York, New York. I think for the first time in my life, because I also played for the Pistons and we beat the Celtics, for the first time in my life, I think I'm cheering for the Boston Celtics to force a Game 7.
Wow. You were that turned off by Stephen A. Smith and Spike Lee.
It drove me crazy today. I ended up turning the program off. Drove me ass, and I know it and like both those guys, but that drove me crazy.
He is Scott Hastings. Scott, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, so anytime.
You got it. There he is. Scott Hastings joining us. You got a Game 7 coming up on Sunday with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets. We'll get to Custer Nevada on the other side. We'll get a Preakness prediction from him. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Update time first. Here's Zach. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You have the Preakness tomorrow. I wasn't expecting a Preakness call today because Sovereignty, who won the Kentucky Derby, is not racing in the second leg of the Triple Crown in the Preakness. But let's go to Custer, Nevada, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Custer right now. Custer, what's happening?
Hello, Zach.
Is this Bob?
Yeah, you got it.
Bob, it says Custer in Nevada. I'm like, God, this has got to be Bob.
You got it. Hey, so did you make a score last weekend on the Derby?
Yes. Or 2 weekends ago, I think it was, when I was in Las Vegas, I had a 9-1, I had a ticket on the winner sovereignty. I had a friend that was at the Derby, and he said, bet sovereignty. So 5 minutes before the race started, I went up to the teller, which I was in the one of the BetMGM sports books at the Cosmopolitan, and I ended up cashed out at 9-1. So it was a successful trip.
Hey, that's great to hear, Zach. We're glad you visited us out here in Nevada. But I thought winning a 9-1 shot would turn you into a horse fan. I guess it didn't do that.
Well, I need the horse that wins the Derby to be there for the Preakness. Like, I'm into the three races out of the year if there's a little skid in the game and a little Triple Crown on the line, but that's not the case this year because Sovereignty is you're not going to see until Belmont.
Yeah, you know, my own feeling is, and I've followed horse racing for a long time now. I've actually worked on some harness horses with a close friend of mine. I know horses a little bit. I bet Sovereignty was sore after that race. They just didn't say so. That's just because, you know, Zach, a trainer's dream, their total dream of their life, you know, their Olympus to climb is to win the Triple Crown. So you normally, I know we're hearing all this stuff, all these other reasons. I think the horse probably came out of the race a little bit sore. So that's why they're skipping the Preakness tomorrow.
All righty, Bob. Well, you will be the horse whisperer on this show. Who's winning the Preakness then?
I'll try. Well, you know, Bob Baffert has a horse in the one horse goal orientated. And that horse is very inexperienced, just two lifetime starts. But Baffert is really a cagey trainer. And I don't think he'd start the horse if he didn't think he had a shot. And I think we're going to see that horse go out pretty quickly with Journalism racing much closer to the front this time. Now, we don't know what the track will be like, though, Zach. You know, if it's real sloppy like the Derby was, that benefits some horses. And some horses hate water mud getting splashed in their face. It's pretty intense. It really is. So
what about American Promise at 15-1? I'm just going off names. Yeah. I kind of like the name American Promise at 15-1.
Yeah, that's a Wayne Lucas horse. And, you know, Lucas is a long, long time trainer. I forget how old he is now. He's quite a character, too, when you see him at the racetrack. Most of these trainers are really approachable when you see them at the track. They meet people. They'll talk to you. It's kind of cool. But, yeah, I mean, every horse in this race has a shot, Zach. You really can't throw anybody out.
So you have to bet one thing in this race. Like, because I know there's a bunch of different ways to bet horse racing. What is the one thing our horse whisperer, the General Bob, is gonna be kind of doing here? What would you exactly do if you had to advise people on how to bet?
Well, the most secure way to bet is win, place, and show. But so many people get caught up in these exotic bets, like your exactas, trifectas, superfectas, because they see that, gee, somebody bet $1 and they got back 80 grand or something. Yeah. You know, that is so hard to do, Zach. You got to box four horses. You got to hope some long shot comes in. But win, place, and show is the most secure way to really bet and get some money back. I think Journalism is the best horse in the race. He's only been off 2 weeks since the Derby. He almost won in the Derby, and this race is 110 yards shorter. Mm-hmm. The problem is we don't know if Journalism is at 100%.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
also
like
8-5, so it's not fun odds to bet on, you know?
No. In fact, when the race goes off, it'll probably be 7-5, something like that.
Do you think the horse knows that it's in a race, just wondering, Bob?
Yeah, I know. Jerry Seinfeld always talks about that, Zach. You know, does the horse really know he's in a race? My time around harness horses, the horses really do like to work out and run. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say if they really know they're in a competition, though. They are amazing animals to be around. Whether they know they're racing or not, though, I don't know, you know?
Well, Bob, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Enjoy the Preakness. There he is, Bob in Nevada, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Maybe he'll be our horse whisperer. So he's saying goal-oriented is 6-1 would be who he would take. I'm just going to go American Promise. Just based off nothing. I just looked at American Promise, like the name, see 15-1, boom. You know, throw $25 down, see if we can win it 15 times. That'd be nice. All righty. Let's do this real quickly. Brock Purdy signed a new contract, or that's the report. Brock Purdy, the new deal with the San Francisco 49ers. It's a 5-year extension, $53 million a year is the AAV there for Brock Purdy, $265 million to miss the rock out with your Brock out, looking pretty awesome with Brock Purdy. Stu, give me the schedule this year for the Niners.
Okay.
And I will try to plow through this and tell you what I think they're going to do.
All right, week one at the Seahawks.
Did we do this earlier in the week when the schedule came out with the Niners? I think we did it with you, right? I don't think I did it, right? No? Santer says no? No, no, okay.
I don't think we did the Niners.
I'm going to say win up against the Seahawks.
Okay, at the Saints.
Win.
Home against the Cardinals.
Win.
Home against the Jaguars.
Win.
At the Rams.
Loss.
Okay, at the Bucks.
Loss.
Home against the Falcons.
Win.
At the Texans.
Loss.
At the Giants.
Win.
Okay, home against the Rams.
Win.
At the Cardinals.
They'll lose one to the Cardinals, so loss.
Okay, home against the Panthers.
Win.
At the Browns.
Win.
Home against the Titans.
Win.
At the Colts.
Win.
Home against the Bears.
Loss.
Home against the Seahawks end of season.
Win. That's 12?
12 wins. Wow.
Yeah. We talked about Schefter. That's what it was. And Schefty said, yeah, they have the easiest schedule. That's what it was. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. But they lost a lot, and Schefty was out on them because of the players that they lost. Schedule is... And I started to get, you know, I was counting. I was like, ooh, I'm starting to give them too many wins. I'm like, let me give a loss here or there. It could be, what's their, do we know what their over-under is? That's what I would love to know. Because if that number, I think it's 9.5. I think it's 9.5. If that's the case.
I have 10.5 here.
You have 10.5. Oh, you're right. We did talk about that. I think you got to bet the over on that, if I'm being honest. I think my opinion may have changed from yesterday to today. At least when I initially thought about it. I don't know if I said that on the air, but I would take the over on that. That's a long, yeah, as long as they're healthy, big if. Easy peasy schedule. Even though Brock Purdy, I don't think he should be getting $53 million a year. But as you learn in the NFL, it's not about how much you should be making. It's what you actually are.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.